Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Rhonda Brand. I'm so happy and blessed to be here with you today, along with my co-host and companion for life, Monica Siefger. Thanks for joining us. Well, at the risk of adding to all of the chaos and uncertainty that is out there in regards to the coronavirus, Monica and I nevertheless thought it would be a good time to discuss some of the fallout effects of this new virus as it concerns the topic of abortion, particularly in the area of what is called self-managed or at-home abortion. Recently, an OBGYN and associate professor tweeted that now is a good time to remind women that having a self-managed abortion is safe. Through social media, Dr. Dustin Costescu has been encouraging women to avoid in-person appointments and just abort at home. He has also stated that because there will be an increase in the incidence of unintended pregnancies due to the quarantines resulting from COVID-19, which is the coronavirus disease, at-home abortion is the way to go. We're going to discuss this growing threat to the unborn and talk about whether these self-managed abortions are actually even safe for the women themselves. But first things first, we're going to get started by way of prayer.
Okay, once again, we'll use the prayer composed by Pope St. John Paul II from his encyclical, The Gospel of Life. O Mary, bright dawn of the new world, mother of the living, to you do we entrust the cause of life. Look down, O Mother, upon the vast numbers of babies not allowed to be born, of the poor whose lives are made difficult, of men and women who are victims of brutal violence, of the elderly and the sick killed by indifference or out of misguided mercy. Grant that all who believe in your Son may proclaim the gospel of life with honesty and love to the people of our time. Obtain for them the grace to accept that gospel as a gift ever new, the joy of celebrating it with gratitude throughout their lives, and the courage to bear witness to it resolutely in order to build, together with all people of goodwill, the civilization of truth and love, to the praise and glory of God, the Creator and Lover of life. Amen.
1 John chapter 4, verse 18 tells us that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. And Monica, I think the level of fear that this coronavirus outbreak has produced is palpable. There are certainly things about it that warrant our special attention and care, but it is very surreal, to say the least, to watch the unrestrained reaction to it unfold throughout our society before our very eyes. It's like we are driven by some unknown fear.
Yeah, Rhonda. By now, we're all familiar with schools and institutions being shut down, people flying to the stores to stock up on food, water, and essentials, sporting and other entertainment events being canceled, and even our churches shuttered. This has all of us reeling. We're bewildered and disoriented. But you know what? We shouldn't be, because deep down, as Christians, we knew something like this was coming, and there will probably be much more yet to come. Our Lord tried to prepare his disciples for his arrest, crucifixion, and death, because he knew they would be stunned and would falter when that time came. They would lose hope. But he spoke words to them so that they might remember that when that horrible moment came, they should rest in faith, hope, love, and trust in him. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away, Christ told his disciples in John chapter 16. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. Now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her child is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy.
We have to remember that all that is transpiring in our church and world at this time is for our own good, for our purification and sanctification. And purification is absolutely required both within the church, in the world, and especially within ourselves. When we have approximately 125,000 innocent unborn children murdered every day throughout the world, when hundreds of thousands more are silently aborted through the use of abortifacient birth control methods, when gay marriage is touted as a good, when pornography and other sexual aberrations are rampant and upheld as normal, when innocence and natural modesty are robbed from children by unprecedented means and attacks, when materialism and consumerism are driving us to desire more and more, then how can we honestly not believe that we need a major overhaul, a major purification? We do. And this doesn't even cover the ills that have gone on far too long within our own church, especially by the at least tacit acceptance of most of these evils just mentioned. We need divine intervention.
We sure do. And as hard as it may be, and as much as we may not feel like it, we have to continue to take our water buckets to the well, draw some water out, and fill those jars to the brim, just like the servants did at the wedding feast at Cana, so that through Our Lady's intercession, her Son can work a miracle. We turn to our Heavenly Mother and say, Mother, we have no wine. Now, wine is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, who is love, and we are running very short on this in our world today. And just as Jesus told his disciples about the passion and death he would have to undergo so that the Holy Spirit could come, well, his mystical body here on earth must too pass through its own passion and death before a new Pentecost can come. And hopefully we have started this process. It sure seems like we have. We know it's going to be painful to watch and endure it all. But Christ's analogy of a mother birthing forth her child in great pain, only to find that great joy after the labor is over, is very appropriate here. Over these next few months and in the years ahead, let's endure these spiritual labor pains with great patience and confidence, offering it up for a rebirth of chastity, purity, modesty, and life itself. And remember, perfect love casts out all fear.
Well, Monica, we've been seeing some unsettling things lately at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Abortion numbers are way up. In fact, as we mentioned in a previous In the News segment, there has been a 30% increase in the number of unborn children killed here in Bloomington from the first week of January until mid-March over the same time period last year. We're not sure why this is taking place, but it is. Now, it could be that they are just sending women to Bloomington to get their abortions so that they can justify keeping this Planned Parenthood open. And we pray that this is the case. But it could also mean that a higher number of women, both here in Monroe County and throughout the state, are seeking abortion. That would be very disconcerting. We also think it's possible that the numbers will continue to go up, driven by fears of the coronavirus. Societal pressures will be placed on women to abort their unborn children out of a worry that the child might have some anomaly if the mother catches the disease, or because the mother embraces this false compassion that ending the life of her child would be better than bringing him into the world while this is all going on. Unfortunately, out of a very misguided desire to do good, the abortion industry will more than likely try to capitalize on this crisis and do everything it can to ensure that women continue to have easy access to abortion, and more than likely even encouraging them to abort rather than bring the child to birth.
And I think this is a fair claim, as just exemplified by that tweet you mentioned, Rhonda, in the opening. Since COVID-19, panic is ensuing among many different quarters, including within the abortion industry. In particular, they are using this time as an opportunity to cross over a new threshold, that of self-managed or at-home abortions. Now, there has never been a shortage of information out there to tell you how you can do your own abortion without going to a medical center. They call these self-induced abortions. But over the past few years, advocates for this method have been fine-tuning it and really working to make it appear safe, easy, and normal. And of course, with the internet, it has enabled them to get their message out and to provide sources to women on where they can get abortion pills.
And let's also bring up that those who promote at-home abortions have been motivated to do more since several states have been passing legislation that has sought to greatly restrict access to abortion.
Yeah, good point. And then there's just the idea, too, that this is simply where we are heading. Unfortunately, a lot of these women find it very empowering to take control of their abortion. They find it more convenient to order the pills over the internet and then have the dirty deed take place within the privacy of their own home. We live in this DIY, do-it-yourself craze, and so there are a lot of women who do advocate for this type of abortion.
And there are no lack of websites to encourage women to do these do-it-yourself abortions. This in spite of the FDA placing mifepristone, which is the pill that contains a progesterone-blocking agent that causes the death of the unborn child, on the list that allows only doctors who are able to give appropriate screening and follow-up care permission to prescribe this abortion pill. The FDA has done this because of the potential for serious complications, like an incomplete abortion, or if there is an ectopic pregnancy involved. If a woman decides that she wants an abortion and just goes and orders the abortion pill online without being checked to see if her pregnancy is ectopic, that is, if the implantation happened to take place within the fallopian tube instead of within the lining of her uterine wall, then her life could be in great danger. Also, most of these at-home abortions only make use of the first pill in what is normally a two-pill regimen for a chemical abortion. The second pill prescribed by Planned Parenthood and other abortion centers is called misoprostol, and it starts the uterine contraction so that the dead baby can now be expelled. The combined use of these two pills carries a 95% success rate of forcing a woman's body to miscarry. So when you're only taking the first pill, it ups the chances of having an incomplete abortion when some portion of the baby or the placenta remains in the uterus. And if this happens, a potentially life-threatening infection could result, and surgery is often required.
Yeah, why so many abortion advocates are getting behind this movement for DIY abortions is lost on me. I mean, at one time we heard about how women will turn to back alley methods if abortion is ever made illegal, and about how many women will be harmed and even die if they don't have access to safe abortion under a physician's care. Well, now this is being turned on its head. The FDA is being pressured by abortion supporters to lift restrictions on mifepristone so that women can legally purchase the pills online herself. It's no longer about this choice as between a woman and her doctor. It's about the full-blown right of a woman to kill her unborn child unimpeded by even safe medical standards and guidelines, even though these drugs have killed and injured women.
Well, then there is also the concern of these pills being used for nefarious purposes by men wanting to force women to abort. Several cases have already been documented of men slipping the pill into a woman's drink, causing death to her unborn child. Again, U.S. law requires that abortion drugs be prescribed and distributed by a licensed physician, but that doesn't stop the sale of these drugs illegally over the internet. Abortion advocates are trying hard to get the law changed, and I expect that they will try doubly hard to do so during this coronavirus outbreak. Late last year, an abortionist from over in Amsterdam who prescribes abortion pills over the internet to women from all over the world sued the FDA for seizing some pills which she illegally prescribed to U.S. patients. the FDA had been warning her against doing this and had issued a cease and desist letter. She refused to comply, so authorities took action. The abortion doctor then sued, claiming that the U.S. government is trying to deny women their constitutionally protected right to terminate their unwanted pregnancies. Again, there was no mention about how these laws are there to ensure the health and safety of the women themselves.
And Rhonda, can we stop right here and think about how allowing for such easy access to these abortion pills might make women more vulnerable to abuse, rape, and trafficking? How easy would it be for a man to cover up such crimes then? I don't know. It just doesn't make sense that if one is truly concerned about women's health, how you could promote these at-home abortions. Dating the pregnancy accurately and making sure that it's not ectopic is crucial for a woman's safety. You might also have underlying medical conditions that would not make you a good candidate for taking these drugs. Being able to order these drugs over the internet without being seen by a doctor for evaluation just seems very dangerous, of course, for the unborn child, but also for the woman herself.
Well, I think we only need to think of the movie Unplanned to recall the horror that these women who take abortion pills have to go through. It's a very bloody experience, as you know if you have seen Unplanned or read the book. Abby Johnson describes how she sat on the commode for hours, just bleeding and bleeding. She was vomiting into a trash can in between and crying and sweating. She was passing blood clots the size of a lemon. She said she honestly thought she was going to die. She stayed in the bathroom for a solid 12 hours.
And Abby's story is not unusual. In fact, there are a plethora of very similar stories by women who have taken the abortion pill. Many of these women take to social media forums to commiserate with others who, too, have had horrible experiences. And the website abortionpillrisks.org contains several stories of women who have suffered horribly. For example, one woman said she bled uncontrollably for 3 months. She was eventually diagnosed with uterine and bladder infections. She finally went to a doctor who told her that he had seen other women in similar conditions after taking the abortion pill. A woman who takes the abortion pill because she views it as easier and safer than a surgical abortion is very often in for the surprise of her life. Testimonies of women going through a chemical abortion at home reveal that they have lots and lots of bleeding with huge clots, dizziness, headaches, unbelievable pain, uncontrollable shaking. They feel like they will pass out and die. So when abortion supporters talk about how women are empowered to take charge of their pregnancies and end them at home, either by acquiring the pill at an abortion center or by purchasing it over the internet, well, I got to tell you that the vision of a woman balled up in a fetal position on a cold bathroom floor, writhing in pain as the blood flows continuously while she lifts her head to try to make sure she hits the trash can target as she vomits. Well, Rhonda, that just doesn't sound very empowering to me. In fact, it sounds quite degrading.
It does, Monica. And yet our culture is pushing this, especially to our youth. Magazines like Glamour and Cosmopolitan have been touting these self-managed abortions for a few years now. And here's one example. In 2017, Glamour ran a couple of articles about these do-it-yourself abortions. They featured the online service called Women Help Women, which is a site that promotes and provides information on how to perform self-induced abortions. Now, because of the legal restrictions we described before, this organization cannot provide the abortion pill directly, but they do offer suggestions for how to obtain it, which include going to a veterinarian supply store or a veterinarian's office, lying to a pharmacist about why the drug is needed, or purchasing them over the internet. Again, this all sounds so shady, dangerous, and degrading, but the abortion movement is trying to market these self-managed abortions as no big deal and as a rite of passage into womanhood.
And the deception that undergirds all of this, Rhonda, is astounding. Not surprisingly, the culture of death is truly built on a culture of lies. You know, earlier this year, I was reading about how this magazine called Jewish Currents, a periodical in its own words committed to the rich tradition of thought, activism, and culture of the Jewish left, was instructing women on how to procure abortion pills and then take them unsupervised in the privacy of their own home. They were giving their readers the perfect recipe for a self-managed abortion. Well, what really struck me was how they coached women on how to lie in order to obtain misoprostol, which was their preferred poison to use. They told women that they would need 12 tablets of misoprostol at 200 micrograms each. Then they gave them suggestions on how to obtain it. They first explained how misoprostol is used to treat stomach ulcers in people with arthritis and that it's kept behind the counter at most U.S. pharmacies. Now, in order to obtain it without a prescription, they proposed the following strategies. Try asking for it at a local pharmacy rather than at a chain like CVS or Walgreens. Have a man get it for you, as the pharmacist would be less likely to suspect a male of using it to procure an abortion, and thus more likely to just give them the pills. They encouraged women to make use of excuses like telling the pharmacist that a grandparent with rheumatoid arthritis was visiting and forgot their pills. And finally, they suggested that if you had a good relationship with a local friendly veterinarian, you might be able to obtain the pills through the vet because misoprostol is used to treat stomach ulcers in dogs, and they would probably have them on hand.
And abortion supporters continually harp on pro-lifers for being anti-medicine and anti-science. Well, I think that example speaks volumes about the actual reality of things. The bottom line is that many women have been convinced that their fertility and their ability to bring forth a new human life is a curse rather than a blessing. And we know who is behind that lie. We've probably said this many times before, but it bears repeating over and over. In our culture, human sexuality is treated like a tawdry jewel instead of like an exquisite gift that needs to be cherished and handled with the utmost care. Young women are taught to throw their pearls to the swine. Abortion is just an extension of that mentality, and these so-called self-managed or at-home abortions provide a particularly shocking glimpse into just how far a woman's innate dignity and beauty have been destroyed.
Well, not only could we see a surge in at-home abortions during this pandemic, but we are probably also going to see a renewed push for euthanasia. There's already some concern coming out of Italy, which has been hit hard by the virus, about doctors setting guidelines that give preference for treatment to non-elderly patients over the elderly, regardless of their health condition. I'll tell you what, Rhonda, the way things are going, it's like we are gearing up for the final confrontation between the culture of life and the culture of death. At any rate, these are truly unique and trying times we are living in. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, Moses said, "I call heaven and earth to witness this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose therefore life that both you and your descendants may live."
And that same Old Testament prophet also warned the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 and 21. "If you do not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and are not careful to observe all his commandments, the Lord will bring a pestilence upon you that will persist until he has exterminated you from the land you are entering to occupy." Our Lord spoke these words to Saint Maria Faustina: "Before the day of justice, I am sending the day of mercy. But woe to them if they do not recognize this time of my visitation." This whole coronavirus thing is a chance for our country to repent, especially to repent of the 60 million unborn children who are slaughtered on the altars of convenience, greed, and self-centeredness. Let's offer up everything that we are going through for the conversion of our nation and the whole world. Before we say our goodbyes to you today, we wanted to let you know that Monica and I will be taking a couple of weeks off because of the events transpiring in our country and world. Pro-Life to the Max will still be airing, though, featuring some of our past favorite programs. So be sure to still tune in. It's our goal and hope to be back with you soon. Thank you so much for your support and prayers, and be assured of our prayers for you as well. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.